Guys back there, and just give me a thumbs up when you got it. Oh, thank the Lord for His presence, and thank the Lord for this. These services are building. Amen. I'm telling you, there is something more for Westmoreland. Amen. And thank the Lord for these events coming up. And don't forget Easter, tucked right in the middle. Thank the Lord. I've been talking to people about Beth Stevens next Sunday. I believe we're going to have, and I want to just talk to you a little bit about next Sunday. So praise team, those of you on my praise team, let me see your hand tonight, the praise team up here. All right, 9:30. 9:30. We need to be here a little early. We need to anticipate a bigger crowd coming in. So we're going to have to shift a little bit. So 9:30. Don't come at 9:30. Be here on the stage at 9:30. All right. Don't come at the sound. Be in the sound booth at 9:30. Ready to roll, guys. And we thank you so much. And sometimes we don't appreciate all that the people do week in and week out. Can we do that right now? And thank the Lord for all the everyone, the ushers, the greeters. And so this is next Sunday is going to be a turnaround Sunday. It's going to be a day we won't forget. It's going to be a day where lives are changed. And Sister Beth Stevens is very humble and one of the best preachers that I've ever heard in my life, other than Dr. Jerry Nelson, of course. But we just want to make sure, amen, Pastor. We know we love our pastor, amen. But with all honor, but she is very anointed and it's life changing. And the chairs don't need it. People you know need it. Next Sunday, so you invite people and take those cards we made and give them out. And I've been sharing with people on the job. And Sunday, Easter Sunday, not Easter Sunday, but next Sunday is actually Palm Sunday. So Palm Sunday, we're going to start out singing Hosanna and just believe in the Lord for a great day. And did you enjoy Sister Lisa again tonight? Would you give her a good thank you, Sister Lisa? I love you. She will actually be back next Sunday night to sing the special next Sunday night. I've asked her to do that. And one of the reasons I asked her to do it is because I want her to hear Beth Stevens. Amen. And she's never heard her. She's in for a treat. Amen. So we thank the Lord for His presence here today. If you're glad to be here, say amen. Amen. If you love the Lord, say amen. So we've been talking about resurrection. Don't forget Easter Sunday. Invite people. I've invited several people from Best Buy that are planning to come. Some came last year, some more coming hopefully this year as well. But and then the Sunday after that, Trey Ward, if you've got Facebook, go on Facebook. And he made a post this afternoon and last night about worship. And basically the post said, where did we get the idea we should tone down worship for sinners? You know, that type of thing. And I want you to read that because for him, a 28-year-old to or 29, 30, whatever he is, he's a baby. Amen. But whatever his age is, for him to be saying that, God is doing something in the teenagers and 20-somethings. And it kind of skipped over some of my generation. I don't know what happened, but God is moving and he is doing a mighty work among our young people. And so thank the Lord for Pastor Nate and others that are loving God with all their heart. Amen. So I'm excited about the next three Sundays. Are you excited about the next three Sundays? Let's have a word of prayer right now. Father, would you just bless us these next three Sundays? Lord, fill this house with people. Fill this house with your glory. Lord, we pray that every word, we pray the sound system will go well. Our voices, nobody will get sick. No, nothing to hinder any of these three services. Devil, we take authority as our pastor preached this morning. You will not interrupt any of these services. We pray, God, that you would move mightily. Anoint Sister Beth, her traveling, anoint her, Brother Trey, anoint our pastor for Easter Sunday, and God will give you all the praise. There's more for Westmoreland. Give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. Do you believe it? I said, do you believe it? So tonight I want to talk to you about resurrection questions. There's a lot of questions around the Easter story and several. This will be the last one I deal with. And maybe next year we'll pull out some more resurrection questions. One of the questions of Easter or tied to the Easter story is this. Could you not tarry 1 hour? That's a resurrection question that I may do that next year or maybe after Easter. Who knows? But we talked about. Can the dead live again? The Easter story is about death and resurrection. And then last Sunday night, I asked this question. Who will you invite to the empty tomb? The Bible says that Mary came and others came. So they invited people to the empty tomb. They didn't know it was empty. When they got there, they got the shock of their life. But you know what? We do know it's empty, and we need to invite people to the empty tomb. Amen. I want you to stand with me tonight as we go to the next slide. And I want us to read John chapter 18 for our resurrection question tonight. Resurrection question, John chapter 18, verse 37. If you're there, say amen. We got it up there? All righty. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I in the world. I want to stop right there. That's a good statement. For this cause I came into the world. I want you to turn around and tell somebody, there's a reason you're here. Amen. And I want you to turn around and tell them this. There's a cause that you're here. You're here for a cause. You're here for a cause. You're not here by accident, young man, on the front row. You're here for a reason, a purpose, an assignment, a destiny. You are have a cause. For this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Next slide. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? Resurrection question. Say that with me. What is truth? Go to the next slide. And Father, thank you tonight for the preaching of your word. Lord, anoint your servant to preach, and we'll give you all the praise as we answer the resurrection questions in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody you are blessed and highly favored of God. You may be seated. In our text tonight, we already have gone through many of the events of Easter. When you read John chapter 18, you've already read about the triumphal entry. You've already read about Jesus praying in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. You've already seen and read about Jesus being beaten and humiliated. He appeared by this time before an illegal Jewish high council and high priest Annas. And then Annas sent him to Caiaphas. Then they sent him to Pilate, which is where we are tonight, who was the Roman leader. And you remember the story of Pilate. I'm skipping a lot of stuff. I didn't have time to read all these. I just want to bring you up to date to Pilate. Everybody say Pilate. The man Pilate, whose wife had a nightmare and said, whatever you do, don't touch this man. Pilate, who we remember, washed his hands and said, I am innocent of the blood of this man. And Pilate, who, by the persuasion of the crowd, and young people, don't get persuaded by the crowd. Don't do it because everybody's doing it. But the crowd caused him to make an eternal decision. When he released Barabbas, the thief, the anarchist, over the innocent Son of God. What a story, the Easter story. Next week is Passion Week, and during this time of the year, it's time to renew and rekindle our passion. This is not a time for lukewarm Christianity, one foot in the world, one foot in the church. Easter reminds us that we need to be all in. Easter reminds us that there's something worth living for and there's something worth dying for. Easter reminds us of the passion and the tears. And if we're ever going to be the church that God wants us to be, if we're ever going to be the people that God wants us to be, we've got to be willing to go all in for the Lord. Because every time we die to ourselves, every time we die to our will, trust me, on the other side of death, it's always a resurrection, and it's always better. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Somebody praise God for the other side of Easter. Amen. But in this particular scene, Pilate is interrogating Jesus. And go to verse 37 on the next slide, Brother Derek. And John chapter 18, verse 37, Pilate is asking him, are you a king then? And Jesus said, thou sayest, I'm a king. And then Pilate asked on the next slide, Pilate asked this question, Oh, excuse me. Go back to the preceding slide. Go back to the preceding and give me a thumbs up if you got it, brother. All right. It says, thou sayest I'm a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause I came in the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everybody say the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now let's go to the next slide. And then Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And that is a question that is still being asked today. And especially among our young people. What is truth? And we have to be careful to the answer of that question. Because the answer to that question there is the difference between right and wrong. It's the difference between light and darkness. It's the difference between blessing and cursing. It's the difference between life and death. The answer to that question is the difference between heaven and hell. Now, somebody has made this statement that truth is falling in on hard times. And it certainly has. Truth has fallen on hard times. It's taken a beating. Kind of reminds me of a senior, and we love our seniors at Westmoreland. Oh, we talk a lot about youth, and we talk a lot about young people and having, but I'll tell you what, a church should also minister to and have a lot of seniors. Amen, somebody. And if you're over 40, you're a senior, so give the Lord a hand of praise tonight for everybody that's over 40. Hallelujah. And if you got to, turn up your hearing aid and take your medicine, whatever you got to do. We pass out CVS gift cards or whatever pharmacy of your choice, but we're going to have laden it with prayer. Amen. But here's some things about some of our seniors. He had a hard time grappling with the truth of getting older. He said, the biggest lie I tell myself is, I don't need to write that down. I'll remember it. Oh, not true. Not true, right? I don't have gray hair. I have wisdom highlights. I don't know if that's true or not. Come on now. I'm going to retire and live off my savings. Not sure what I'll do in the second week after retirement. Amen. Why do I have to press 1 for English when you're just going to transfer me to somebody I can't understand anyway? Can I get a witness? Of course, one senior said, I talk to myself. Sometimes I need expert advice. Do I need to give an altar call now? But there are a lot of people talking to themselves. And there's a lot of people that think they've got expert advice. But the truth is that we don't need advice. And we don't need what somebody thinks or somebody says is an expert. We're going to talk about some experts. What we need tonight is the truth. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Say it. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The Bible is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Jesus Christ is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And so go to the next slide. Let me give you three things in response to the answer to Pilate's question. And let's acknowledge, first of all, point number one, the attack on truth. The attack on truth. We live in a day when truth is under attack. In a Barna research poll that was just completed, several troubling facts came to light about where the American public is intellectually and spiritually. This poll examined several different beliefs and found out that, quote, most adults reject the notions of sin or the existence of Satan and salvation by God alone. It is also discovered that Americans tend to think that the core documents of the world's major faiths, such as the Bible, the Quran, or the Book of Mormon, are different expressions of the same truth, and that praying to the dead can reap personal benefits. Barner discovered that Americans are nearly as likely to say that Jesus Christ sinned as to believe he lived a sinless life. In their research, by the way, when I say the average American, I'm not talking about somebody in New York. I'm not talking about somebody in Los Angeles. These are people in Wilson County. These are people that you go to school with and work with. Americans the research team concluded that Americans are in America is the world's greatest melting pot of cultures, and that diversity is clearly evident in religious beliefs. In other words, many people order their lives after what they hear from Oprah or Dr. Phil as much as the Bible, if not more. They see no difference. Next slide. It kind of reminds me of what Isaiah said. A judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen into the street. And how can we say that our truth is the truth? And how can we say that? And listen to the attack on truth. In fact, go to the next slide, Isaiah 59 and verse 4. Because Isaiah the prophet spoke and said, none calleth for justice. None pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and they speak lies. They conceive mischief. They bring forth iniquity. Now go to verse 5. They hatch cockatrice's eggs. The word cockatrice just means snake. They hatch snake eggs and they weave spider's webs. And he that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crusheth breaketh out into a viper. In other words, the prophet is saying that instead of coming up with wisdom and looking to the ultimate source of truth, they spawn ideas and they spawn tales and they come up with reasonings and what ifs and a lot of conjecture and a lot of doubt and pessimism. And basically what the prophet is saying is that they're hatching a bunch of snake eggs. And you know what an egg is. It's something that's easily cracked. And instead of having a nice chicken to come out, a little flurry, fluffy chicken, it's a viper. And when you hatch it and when it breaks and it touches you, it'll kill you. It's deadly. It's disgusting. It's dangerous. And when I hear things in school and when I see things on television and certain movies, all I can liken it to is the same thing. We're hatching a bunch of snake eggs. And I want to expose that tonight. And I want to answer, what is truth? Somebody put your hand together and praise the Lord tonight for truth. If you'll go to the next slide, just this past week, this man, does anybody know who this, I know you know the name, but does anybody really know, David, raise your hand back there. Anybody other than David really know, Derek, you know who this man was? Anybody else ever heard of Stephen Hawking? All right. Some of you have, some of you haven't. He just died. Go to the next slide. He was an atheist. He said, I believe the simplest explanation is there is no God. No one created the universe and no one directs our fate. This leads me to a profound realization that there probably is no heaven and no afterlife either. We have this one life to appreciate the grand design of the universe. For that, I'm extremely grateful. He was a physicist. He studied black holes and he was a modern Einstein. Go to the next slide. He said, I regard the brain as a computer which will stop working when its components fail. Therefore, there is no heaven or afterlife for broken down computers. That is a fairy story for people afraid of the dark. You see, Stephen Hawking is a modern day skeptic and atheist. But I want you to know that he's just hatching some snake eggs that are ancient. Let me give you a few men as we go to the next slide. 500 years ago, George Friedrich Hegel. And I don't have time to give you all of that he thought, but basically he hatched the snake egg of that there is no absolute truth. Say that. There is no absolute truth. In other words, truth is relative. Truth is not hardcore. Truth is how you feel. Truth is not what God says or the Bible says. Truth is what you think. Who's to say you're right and I'm wrong? And if you hatch that snake egg, the problem is you have a lot of problems. Murder can be good now. Charles Manson and Mother Teresa both can be looked at in the same life, because who's to say that murder is wrong? It's like a baseball umpire. He calls it like it is. He calls it like he sees it, or he calls it like he wants to. There are no, that's what some people think of the umpire, right? He's supposed to call it like it is. Amen? No absolute truth. I don't have time to tell you how he came up and laid that horrible snake egg. But listen, I want to tell you something tonight. If there's no absolute truth, that way you can solve that argument is this. How many of you have drawn a paycheck in your life for some kind of work? Raise your hand. And the employer promised you $50. And when you got ready to get that paycheck, he handed you $5. And what if the employer said, well, $5 will do the same as $50. It's just the truth. How many of you know $50 will not do the same as, or $5 will not do the same as $50? Can I get an amen? If you've been to Cracker Barrel, you know that. Amen. 2 + 2 does not equal 10. That in itself is a snake egg. There is truth. There is a right. There is a wrong. There is a fact and there is a falsity. Please understand that that is a snake egg to say that all truth is relative. Your truth is what you feel. My truth is what. No, sir. There's only one truth. It must be true. There are laws that cannot, you cannot break those laws. You can break yourself over those laws, but you cannot break the laws of truth. And don't be bitten by the snake egg when that snake egg is crushed. Can I get an amen? Go to the next slide. Ludwig Furbach. Ludwig Furbach. He basically said there's no God. That God is just a figment of man's imagination. He said way back in the early days of mankind that they didn't know how to explain the unexplainable. They said way back before the computers, way back before TV, when nature would rise and lightning. And so man didn't know any better. So they thought must be a God up there. So he come up with the idea that really God didn't create man. Really, man created God. And so he hatched a snake egg called materialism. This gave rise to the fact that if there is no God, if it's just a figment of our imagination, then we can just do what we want to do. Materialism. Things are our gods. We conjure up our own gods. And so he laid the snake egg that there is no God. And then the next one came a man by the name of Karl Marx. He laid a snake egg as well. He said, since there's no absolute truth, he said, since there is no God, he took it to the next level. And he said, since there's no truth and there's no God, then how are we going to have an orderly society? Therefore, the state must meet all the needs of humanity. He laid the snake egg of communism. Communism that says nobody owns more than the other. Your house can't be bigger than mine. Not fair if you got a bigger house than my house. You drive a nicer car than mine. So everybody drives the same gray car. Everybody has the same 3 bedrooms, 2 bath house. And supposedly that will solve the problem of jealousy and class envy. And he hatched a terrible snake egg and it brought in the power of the Soviet Union. You young people don't remember, don't know of this. I remember it when the Berlin Wall fell. All of Europe rejoiced because it was a snake egg. Brother and sister, you don't look to Washington. You don't look to Karl Marx. You don't look to the state. In God we trust. That's truth. Somebody shout hallelujah. The state is not my God. I don't look to Donald Trump to meet my needs. My God will supply all my need according to his riches. I'm not looking a government paycheck. I'm looking God to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that I cannot contain. Somebody shout amen. And then on the next slide, Charles Darwin. He laid a terrible snake egg. He said, since there's no God, since there's no truth, where did man come from? So man must have come from animals. He must have evolved. Hey, we had to come from somewhere. And so since we had no creator, then the reason we're here is called the survival of the fittest. In other words, we survived because we were bigger and stronger. And this gave rise to finally the next one, next slide, Sigmund Freud. And he was a recent agnostic and atheist. He said, since there's no God, since there's no absolute truth, since we're all just animals anyway and evolved, then he came up with this snake egg. Then we ought not to deprive ourselves. He laid the snake egg of this. If it feels good, do it. Well, there's no God and there's no creator. So why should we deprive ourselves of pleasure? If we want to do it and it feels good, then do it. What a snake egg. And really, when you take all these snake eggs, what you come out with is an omelet. An omelet. An omelet that is hideous. You take all of these thoughts. And Sigmund Freud came up with psychology, psychoanalysis, ego, superego, whatever. I forget the words now. I did go to East Carolina University. I did study psychology. The id, the ego, and the superego. And if it feels good, do it. And sexual freedom. And you can sleep who you want to sleep with. I'm being very plain here tonight. Trust me, a PG-13 movie will go further than I'll ever go. But understand, from the pulpit, we've got to tell you there is sexual freedom. Get married. All the married people ought to say amen. I've got sexual freedom. I found a woman, a pure woman, and we said covenant to each other, and we have sexual freedom, and it's blessed, and God blesses the marriage bed. His hand of blessing is upon it. It's a gift from God, and it's wonderful, and you ought to wait and let God bless it, because let me tell you, there is sexual freedom in the Lord. Can I get a witness? But if you take sexuality outside of that marriage bed, God said, whoremongers and adulterers, I will judge. Did you know that not one sexually transmitted disease has a cure? Not one. Can be treated, but cannot be reversed. I want you to understand that any time you take hold of that poison of pleasure outside of the confines of God, just because it feels good doesn't mean it'll do you good. It'll bring heartache and regret. Young people, hear this preacher tonight. And if you're watching by Facebook Live, it is to your advantage. It is to your good. It is to God's favor upon your life to keep yourself. If everybody else is doing it, they're going to cry tears. They're going to have emotional wrecks. They may even have out of wedlock pregnancy, abortion. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you keep yourself until your wedding night. And I promise you, you'll thank God. And you'll thank this preacher, and you'll be blessed and highly. All these snake eggs have produced an omelet, high teenage pregnancy, low, all-time low in traditional marriage. And maybe, may I say something to you? With all love and respect, if you're living together and you're not married, you're in a sinful situation. You cannot live with the opposite sex, even if you live in separate bedrooms. Because the Bible says, avoid the appearance of evil. And the Bible says to abstain from fornication. And we're to never put ourselves in a where the world can question our integrity. And neither should we put ourselves in a place of temptation. Because if you take a healthy man in one bedroom and a healthy woman in the other bedroom, I promise you the devil's going to work 24 hours a day. You don't need to give place to the devil. There's something for that. It's called get married. Get before a preacher. Get before a church. My God, am I preaching some dead folks out here tonight? Get married. It's wonderful. Amen. Do you really want to hang around somebody who doesn't want to commit to you anyway? Because when you're living with somebody, you have no foundation. At any moment, they're down the road for the next adventure. But thank God, not through my own goodness, but I made a covenant with one woman, and I plan for her to push me around in the nursing home. We're going all the way. She's not going to leave me for some good looking something down the road. She has agreed to stay with me, big, small, gray hair, no hair. Amen, Darnell, in that corner back there. Thank God for marriage. Brother and Sister Tedder, how long have you two been married? Give the Lord a praise. 68 years. I talked to somebody the other day, they were married 6.8 years. Oh, Lord, help them. Amen. Brother, if you don't have God, let me tell you, everything falls to a snake egg. Amen. We've had the removal of the Ten Commandments. We have everybody doing what they think and feel is right. We have an omelet of gangs. We have Littleton, Colorado, Newton, Connecticut, and Boca Raton, Florida just a few weeks ago. People say we need to take away the guns. What is your answer to that? I actually agree with it. I think every gun in the entire world, every gun ought to be melted. And not one person should have a gun. I believe that. But you know what? It ain't gonna happen. It's unrealistic. As long as the problem is not a gun, The problem is the human heart. And if all the guns in the world were melted, somebody will go into school with a chain and kill somebody. It is not a gun. I don't, well, brother, what do you think about this? Well, I think what we need is God, and we need prayer in school. The president says, give the teachers a pistol. I say, Mr. President, let's give them a Bible. Praise God. And that will protect them. Hallelujah. That'll get our schools back. Well, somebody shout glory here tonight. We had a mayor in an American city 3 years ago. The mayor of Houston subpoenaed, legally subpoenaed, the copies of the sermons of the pastors in her city. Why would she subpoena those pastors' sermons? She was going to see if any of those sermons contained certain terminology against a certain lifestyle. Let me tell you something. There's nobody that loves gay people more than true Christians. We love people. We don't care what your identification is, or where you come from, or your set, whatever you think, whatever vice you have, whatever problem you have, whatever thinking you have. There's nobody. It may I remind you that it is Christians that brought about the end of slavery in America. It was the Bible. People say there's slavery in the Bible. Yeah, there's slavery in the Bible, but when you read the Bible, God's not for it, and it was because of that slavery ended. And it's Christians who are against sex trade, slaves, Christians that elevate the role of women. It is Christians that any natural disaster that hits this world, you don't see the crescent moon of the Islamic planes flying over there. You see the Red Cross going everywhere to bring relief, the Baptists, the Pentecostals. We're going to go where people are hurting. We'll give our blood. We don't care when you're suffering and dying. We don't care what your orientation is. But let me tell you, we will preach to you and love you and tell you that lifestyle is a dangerous lifestyle. God made you a man. He made you a woman. And He knew what He was doing when He made you. And you'll be more happy. Well, I won't be happy if I don't express myself like I feel. Let me tell you something. You express yourself like God made you, and I promise you, you'll be a lot happier. Can I get a witness out there? Don't listen to that snake egg. These things have consequences. Truth is falling in the street. So that is the attack. Brother, go to the next slide. So what's the answer? What's the answer? What is the answer to Freud and Marx and Darwin, Furbrook and Hegel and Hawkins? What's the answer to your questions? What's the answer to Pilate's question? What is truth? Well, really the answer to that question is really to rephrase the question. Go to the next slide. It's not what is truth. It's who is true. Had a conversation with someone at the job just yesterday, or maybe the day before yesterday. I said something. I can't remember what it was that I said. His response back to me, he says, oh, I know what it was. Someone had put something on Facebook about abortion. And I put a response, very kind response, not to be combative, confrontational. But the response is, you know, they were saying that it's not murder to take the child, you know, to end a pregnancy. And so I just simply asked, what is the definition of murder? Well, the definition of murder is to take someone's life by choice. And so if you take a life in the womb, then what is it? It's called abortion. It's a murder. And so I was explaining that to somebody, and he said, well, that's not true. And he gave me his reasons why. I said, well, let me tell you this. The Bible says that before you were formed in the womb, I knew you and ordained you a prophet. God Himself knew Jeremiah before he was even conceived. So that tells you that conception, the moment of that conception was life. Life has to start somewhere. Well, that's because you believe that book, and what's to say your book is right? I said, because it's the Word of God. And he said, well, that's what 2,000 other religions think? What makes you think that your religion is right and all the 2,000 other ones is wrong? I said, that's easy. That's as easy as pie. What do you mean? You mean tell me you think your religion out of 2,000 is right and your book is right? I said, absolutely. Well, what makes you think it? I said, I'll give you here it is. It's very simple. The resurrection. Are y'all with me tonight? Let me tell you something. If it were not, and I told him this, I said, if it were not that Jesus came out of the tomb. Well, that's just what the book says. Yeah, but the book has confirmed that over 500 people saw him. Many of them died a horrible death. It's one thing to die for something that you believe in. It's another thing for you to die for something you know is an absolute farce. I haven't heard of that. And I'll tell you something else. The evidence after evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Had he stayed in the grave, we'd be just like any other religion. But because the tomb is empty, and I'll tell you what, he didn't have a whole lot to say after that. Because it's not what is truth. The real question is, who is truth? Because if he's true, then everything else falls into place. Let me tell you, there's all kinds of philosophies and philosophers. There's all kinds of teachings and teachers. There's all kinds of ideas and instigators. There's all kinds of messiahs and messengers. There's all kinds of questions and all kinds of answers. And everyone has claimed to the right way. But go to the next slide. But let me tell you what it comes down. Go to the next slide. That is a picture of the empty tomb. Because that tomb is empty, we know that we know that we know whom we have believed, and we are persuaded. Somebody shout amen tonight. Look at the next slide. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said unto him, watch this. Read it with me. I am the way, the truth and the life, and no man. He didn't say I'm a good way. He didn't say I'm a better way. He didn't say I'm even the best way. He said I'm the only way, glory to God. Because of Easter, who is truth? His name is Jesus. He arose. Go to the next slide. They say, well, maybe he just passed out. Do you know how much blood that man lost? Do you think you could be nailed to a tree and just pass out and lay you in a tomb, and a few days later you're kind of like, oh, everything's fine? That's absurd. Well, maybe they went to the wrong tomb. Well, if they went to the wrong tomb, all the people who did bury him in the right tomb, all they had to do was say, hey, there he is, and produce the right tomb. Well, maybe the disciples stole the body. But just the day before, they all forsook him and fled. Well, maybe the disciples just hallucinated. They thought they saw him. They got a hallucination. Let me tell you something. I don't know a lot about hallucinations because I haven't had a lot of hallucinations. But it's one thing to hallucinate and see something, and for Pastor Jerry to hallucinate and see the same thing. You can hallucinate and see bananas, and I probably hallucinate and see elephants, and you might hallucinate and see a box of crayons, but I doubt that 500 people are all going to hallucinate and see the very same thing. They didn't hallucinate. They saw his glory, and they saw the nail in his hand and the nails in his feet. Thank God he's alive. Oh, it's all just a lie. But did they all die for a lie? I've heard of people dying for what they thought was true, but you don't hear of many people dying for what they know is false. It's not what is truth, but it's who is truth. Young people, when you go to school, keep it real simple. Don't get into arguments about Marx and Faber and Hawking's theory of Einstein's theory of relativity, Hawking's theory of the black holes and all that. You know, there's a black hole. And heaven is not a fairy tale. And so sadly, unless something happened at the last moment, it didn't take Hawking's, it took him 76 years to discover what is true. But it only took him, or to search for what is true, but it only took him 1 second after his last breath to know who is true. You see, the real issue is not the attack on truth. We know that's happening. It's not even the answer from truth. Go to the next slide. The real issue is simply this. Will you accept the truth? Do you know why, my friend? He knows down deep inside that I'm right. But because he and so many others love their sin, they can stand before God and say, the reason I lived a sinful lifestyle, the reason I indulged in drugs and sex outside of marriage, the reason I just lived it so caught up and did what I wanted to do and didn't go to church and didn't. And the reason for all of this is because I was confused. No, you're not confused. The tomb is empty. It's not the attack on truth, the answer of truth. It's quite simply this. Will you accept the truth? You will either do it now or you will do it later. I close, and Brother Clark, if you'll come. On the next slide, there's a couple. Probably most of you young people don't remember this couple. And just, I'll let you know when to start, okay? John Kennedy, President John Kennedy, had a son named John Kennedy Jr. John Kennedy Jr. is on your left. He was put on the cover of People magazine as the most handsome man alive at one time. They used another word, but I'll just use the word handsome. And born into wealth, born into privilege, born into power. And he was a good man. He was a very good man. He was probably more down to earth of all the Kennedys. He lived a wonderful life. He did a lot of good things. On his, holding his hand there is, was his fiancée. They lived together. They had not gotten married. But John Kennedy Jr. was a pilot, which means he could get into a small airplane or a medium airplane, and he had to know how to fly. But he wasn't a professional pilot like you have to get certified to fly like commercial air flight. But he could do local flying and short distances. And so one night he was going to fly from, I guess, New York up to Boston for a party at the Kennedy compound. And on his flight, en route to his flight, he got into fog. This was in the year 1999, 20 years ago, but 19 years ago. And he never made it to the party. Several days later, they found the plane on the bottom of the ocean. They pulled the plane up, and he and his fiance and her sister were strapped in their seats with their seatbelt on, just like they just went in. And here's what happened. This is what happened. On that plane that he was not used to flying, there was a certain instrument. It tells you if the plane is flying up or down. But here's the thing about it. When you're in the air and you get in fog, sometimes your human mind and sensations get out of whack. And your body can tell you you're going up. But the instrument down there says you're going down. But everything you feel, everything in your instinct says, I'm going up. Turned out that he went by his feelings and stood by the instrument. The instrument was scientifically calibrated. There was no way it could fail. It had two or three redundancies. That instrument panel, had he been a professional pilot, he would have overrode his feelings and he would have safely landed at his destination. I want you to stand with me tonight, because there are many of you tonight, you're going by your feelings. Well, somebody hurt my feelings. And I know the preacher preaches against being offended, but I know, you don't know how I feel. My friend, the instrument panel is the Word of God. And Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Don't you ever go by how you feel. Sin feels good for the moment, but it'll crash you down and take your soul in a foggy bottom. Tonight, will you accept the truth? Will you bow your heads and close your eyes as Brother Clark plays softly? And Father, tonight, help us to answer the resurrection question. Help us, Lord, to accept the truth. Facts tell us. The instrument panel tells us. Definitely, without question, that you rose from the dead. I may feel like my orientation is not what my physiology is. I may feel like this affair is what I need. I may feel like this hurt is justified. But oh God, help us to read the instrument panel. Help us to make it safely to heaven's shore. Tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, young people, I especially appeal to you. You're in your teenage years. I encourage you to give your life to Jesus. Do it now. Don't let all the questions and the doubts and the pessimism and the sarcasm of the TV shows and the movies, even friends you go to school with, you feel it tonight. You know it tonight. And you know that tomb is empty. Give your life to Jesus. If you want to give your life to Jesus, heads are bowed. I want you to lift your hand and say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus tonight. Anybody, young people, any of you tonight, I see a hand lifted. Anybody else tonight, come on, lift those hands up tonight if you want to receive Jesus. Any older person, anybody tonight, this is your appeal. I want you to know Christ. All right, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Will you accept the Lord's direction in your life, whether you're saved or not? Well, let me see your hand tonight. Will you say, I'll go where He wants me to go. I'll forgive who He wants me to forgive. I'll speak what He wants. Is that you? Lift your hand tonight. I want to make a fresh commitment. Would you step out of your seat? Would you join me at the front? And let's praise Him for the truth that we are free, the truth that we are blessed and highly favored. Would you step out of your seat and let's close in prayer tonight? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for the truth tonight. Come on, sing it. Come on, accept the truth. Come on, accept the truth.